Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of Elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit EnduranceWarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's EnduranceWarranty.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Daniel and Robosaur defy explanation, leave you wanting more. All my fightings, government denies. Take clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from net control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Yeah, basically, welcome back to the shack.
Oh, no.
And I'm Wilbur. And we got a lot to discuss today. A lot going on in the world.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about bovine spongy form encephalopathy.
That's skull.
Huh?
Encephalo, your head, your skull, bovine cows. Oh, what is it? It's driving me mad.
Oh, mad cow disease.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what the joke was.
Okay.
But we actually have some updates on stuff, so you have a couple.
Yeah. Well, which one? Where do we want to start?
Why don't you talk about East Palestine?
Oh, yeah. So I just got... So
that was one of our big first DW episodes.
That's right.
That's kind of why we decided to build the shack.
And so I got an update from one of our reporters on the ground. We got a reporter on the ground now, or an investigator, that's feeding the shack information on down the information highway. It's our local Google guide. Sent me an article that said that from Nick Sorter on Twitter, he broke the news that emails from the Biden White House confirmed that they were lying about East Palestine, Ohio, being safe after the train explosion. So basically, wow, we were all right again. Here we go. It's been officially revealed that they worked to deceive the public about the disaster. You've seen his video, that Nick guy, when he reported it, when that all happened. Remember when they were standing there and that lady threw the rock into the river and all the rainbow colored water, him floating up? That was him that recorded and reported that video. So he was on this, you know, from the very beginning, as were we, because it's our backyard. And it's nuts. So the emails came out and he's reporting it that they knew about how bad it was. And they know that a lot of people are going to get sick and a lot of health
cancer rates.
Yes. Going to skyrocket.
Which is nothing new for the Ohio River Valley.
No.
Out of not saying anywhere. I will say probably anywhere in the country. There's everywhere in the country. There's been horrible things done to the citizens, whether it's Native Americans or settler citizens or whatever. From the day it was founded on,
right,
horrible things done to private citizens. But the Ohio River Valley has probably had the worst of it, from acid mine drainage to like when Monsanto and BlackRock and all them did the Blackwater Project to Palestine to just. People don't get the Ohio River is still radioactive.
Yeah.
People don't believe me. In big pockets. I seen it. I seen it.
You did the tests.
But
you measured it.
Yeah.
You didn't see it. You measured it.
Yeah. But, and then they're still eating. They're still allowing people to eat fish out of it and saying, now don't worry about it.
Long it's as fine.
As long as he wasn't laying in there, which he comes out and you wonder how you get an Octoman.
It says the Biden's White House admitted behind closed doors that there would likely be an increase in cancer clusters after 115,000 worth of carcinogenic vinyl chloride was released into the atmosphere and water system. But they hid that from us.
I'm going to guess that's a VOC.
Volatile organic compound.
Yeah. So anybody don't know what a VOC is? I used to work with them pretty extensively. It does not mean it's an organic compound.
Right.
It means it's violent
to
organic life.
Yes. This was that carcinogenic vinyl. Remember when they burnt it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that was that he's talking about.
Yeah, because it's better to burn it than it is to let it leak into the water table, which it may. At that point, that I'm not saying that's the lie.
You're right.
But to say, to imply that it's safe would be the lie.
Right, exactly.
Because once something gets into the groundwater, so Cincinnati has an EPA supersite, which we'll do in a whole episode on EPA supersite.
Okay.
But Cincinnati has one. When we used to have all this nuclear waste from like when they're building bombs and all the testing and stuff like that, we didn't know what to do with it. So one thought was to just dump it in the ground.
Right.
Well, the problem
big
is
hole.
They put it near Cincinnati near a water table. So now they just keep dumping concrete down there to keep it because it's radioactive materials eating at the concrete.
Oh, wow.
Trying to get into the water table.
Oh, wow.
So they just keep filling behind it.
Putting more concrete, just keep adding to it.
A whole bunch of EPA scientists out there sitting just like,
yep, this is bad.
Hopefully today's not the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're killing ourselves. No, I mean, we're killing ourselves.
I think I should get a crystal ball.
Okay.
I'm scared with how in the last 2 or 3 years, how many things I've said that it's been proven right.
We need to check.
I don't like that.
Let's check the history of the show.
I don't like it.
I think the whole show's been on it.
Yeah. I don't like it because it's just like, I have other fears that I don't want to come true.
You're like a Rob Schneider on Surf Ninjas.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, if you know, you know. He predicts the future, basically.
Yeah.
He just says, like, what if this happens? And then it ends up happening. And then he realizes he has, like, that power. And then he's like, well, what if I lose my power? Oh, no! And he starts freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Rob Schneider. It's just ridiculous.
Great movie.
Dude, Surf Ninjas.
Surf Ninjas.
It's a fantastic movie. It really is. Ernie Reyes Jr. and Leslie Nielsen is the bad guy. Fantastic. But, yeah. No, that's just wild and crazy. Wild and crazy. But what are we going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Die?
Basically.
No, I mean, so cancer rates already in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and the Ohio borders are already extremely high. And nobody ever talks about it. So the only place I know that it is as high or maybe a little higher is some of the desert places, like the Uintas.
Okay.
And that was because of the nuclear testing and all the fallout.
Yeah.
Like the U.S. government killed John Wayne. I ever share that story?
I don't know.
So
yeah, I think you did.
One of the nuclear test sites is out in the desert, but they used to, after they were done testing, they used to run it to Hollywood as an old west site.
Okay.
And it was fine forever.
Until it wasn't.
Well, what happened is nuclear waste is extreme. Radioactive material is extremely heavy.
Okay.
So when it hits the soil, it just keeps going down and down. Like, you remember when they took over Chernobyl, what they say, the Russian soldiers took over Chernobyl. And they went to the forest and they tried to dig a latrine.
Yeah.
And then they all died.
Right.
But why did they not die when they walked over? Because the radioactive material, after 50 years, is soaked about 6 foot down to the ground. There's shielding. The
right.
Earth itself is kind of blocking a lot of that radioactive force from you. So what had happened out there is that it had settled into the sands.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the scenes had a sandstorm. So they put up big fans.
Oh, stirred it all up.
And it blew it in the air. John Wayne and I, out of the 95 cast members, oh wait, out of the 105 cast members, 95 of them died of cancer.
Oh my gosh.
Including John Wayne.
No correlation there. Nope. Government said that's not possible.
Well, yeah, guess what? They didn't run it out anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's actually blocked off because it's extremely toxic.
Yeah. Hmm.
So.
Just so you know, they had to sacrifice a few hundred people.
The U.S. government did kill John Wayne.
Hmm.
Kind of a roundabout way, but they did it.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, I mean. That's one we can actually prove, though.
Oh, all right. Well, good deal.
Because he died of explosive cancer disease.
Came out of nowhere, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, he didn't. I mean, he was a. He had a lot of blocked up fecal matter.
Oh, okay.
I think he had 41 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Of impacted fecal matter.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't know that was before or after the radiation, but they're like, he pretty much just ate steak and butter.
Mm.
Like a.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So it must have been the.
I mean, a salad every once in a while isn't bad.
Maybe that's what killed him.
He ate a salad one time and he exploded.
Yeah, it impacted.
What's your next little piece of news? I forgot it already.
Were we talking about it before?
Yeah.
Before the episode?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
I don't either.
Let's just get into the main topic, the mad cow.
So mad cow disease is back. So I'm going to literally read the CDC page because for this show, I like to do that.
Right.
Yeah. I like to go to the article from the people.
The authority. What's mm-hmm. the man telling us?
So, just mad cow disease. It's abbreviation. It's a BSE for anybody that cares at home. Ever hear of like BSE disease or whatever?
That's mad cow?
Yes, because that's the actual name of the bovine spongiform.
Encephalopathy. Pathia.
But AKA mad cow disease.
Mm-hmm.
So mad cow disease is a fatal brain disease in cows that is caused by?
I know the answer you're asking. Eating other cow, eating your own flesh.
Which is?
Prion?
Prions.
Prion disease.
Yeah, it's caused by prions. So mad cow has caused major outbreaks in the U.S. in the 1980s and the 1990s, which I'll come back to.
Okay.
With cases reported in at least 24 countries. Why only 24 countries, you wonder? Because every country in the world has cows, probably besides Antarctica.
Right. Well, there's no countries down there, right? Every country does?
Yeah, every country has cows. At least now.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that checks out.
Cows and goats and dogs. I'd kind of lump cats into that. Are kind of ubiquitous
at this point, yeah.
With people.
Yeah.
So, especially in the last 1,000 years.
For sure.
If not before that.
For sure, yes.
That when we went anywhere, we took goats or cows,
mm-hmm.
depending on who you were and what you wanted. Sheep, too, but I kind of lump sheep into and goats.
And dogs, too, I guess. I mean, yeah. They're just always kind of there.
Dogs are ones that were separately domesticated many times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, gray wolves, they're still gray wolves. So, yeah, in the 1980s and 90s, a bunch, in at least 24 countries, but not the world. Most of the cases occurred in the United Kingdom, with many other cases reported. The U.S. was a big one, too. Change to feed policies may have been made that caused would cause this disease, but they were extremely rare. However, animal health officers continue to monitor suspicious deaths in cows to watch for the potential resurgence.
The resurgence.
Yeah.
This is moderate.
So why would this thing, if we've had millions of cows, or billions of cows at this point, humans domesticated cows like 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. People put it all the way back to 11,000 years ago.
Right. That's our history.
Bos taurus and Bos indicus were the two separate cows we domesticated, wild cows.
Okay.
Bos taurus and Bos indicus. Because we have two kind of distinct lineages of modern day cow,
mm-hmm.
and that's why. They were domesticated separately, and they are close enough related they can intermingle.
Yeah.
But there was two distinct lineages
okay.
of cattle.
Yeah.
If we've had them forever, why did mad cow disease become an issue in the 1980s?
Well, wait, you're asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Well, I'm imagining it's because we're feeding them their own corpses.
So there was a humongous push at the end of the 1970s into the 1980s where a lot of cows, so in the commercial industry, there's very little wasted on cows.
Okay.
But profitable, there is some, you know, waste. So what happens is after the carcass is cleaned of meat, there is bones, sinew, cartilage. Those are kind of the big in the organs. So there is some desire for organ meat in the U.S. That's kind of fallen off, especially by the 1970s.
Liver is about the only one left.
Liver and tongue.
Oh, yeah. Tongue's an organ? You consider that?
It's a muscle.
Yeah.
But I would, as I far guess it as is. In it's this like, lump, I'm going to lump it in with the organs.
It's the beginning it's of a digestive tract.
It's so not a traditional cut of meat.
Right.
Okay. At least in a modern day.
So we'll take it. All right.
So
I'll accept that.
Yeah. But yes, it is a muscle. It is not an organ.
Right. It's like saying the heart's not an organ, but it is.
Yeah, the heart is a muscle and an organ.
Right, exactly.
So, organ meat, sinew, cartilage, and bone. So, like, everybody knows the hoofs and bone get turned into?
Tallow.
No.
Oh.
Jelly.
Jelly, sorry.
Thickening agents and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, gelatin and all that stuff, yes.
And so, there's not a huge demand by the 1970s. There wasn't a huge demand for jelly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Organ meat and all this stuff. So, they had a couple industry men come up with the idea of, well, let's boil and ground up the cows and feed it back to the cows for a protein source.
Mm-hmm.
It'll save us money in the long run. It recycles nutrients and all this stuff. A cow is not, now, all herbivores will take meat every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like everybody's seen deer eating like snakes and horses eating baby chicks and stuff like that. But their digestive tracts are not designed for it.
Right, as their main diet.
Yeah. Especially animals that are cannibalistic are extremely rare as far as long-term cannibals because of prions.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start eating your own kind, prions become an issue. And I'll try to explain what a prion is the best I can. Because it's insane what they actually are. And I don't think we fully understand what they actually are.
Right.
I think it's punishment.
I was going to say that, or a glitch in the, not a glitch, a corruption in the
it's in your,
data.
Yeah. It's you're like, not supposed to eat your own kind.
It's like a virus on a computer. Not like a virus.
So the
like,
animals that are cannibalistic actually have built-in mechanisms to prevent that.
Wow. Okay.
Often cannibalistic.
Yeah.
And they're almost always reptiles.
Mm. What's that say?
Yeah,
what's that say to people out there? Reptilian people. They'll eat themselves. They don't care. They're cold-blooded, literally.
There's very few mammals that pick each other out on purpose. Even like bears. So a black bear being eaten by a grizzly bear is not the same thing because those are different species.
Right.
No, they're both bears.
Right.
We're talking about like a grizzly bear, like the boss, you know, a grizzly bear eating another grizzly bear.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely rare, let alone for that to become a food item.
Right, yes.
And it once off thing, you know, it happens in all carnivores.
Right.
Especially in desperate situations.
Or just a territorial situation.
Yeah.
But they're not going to sit there and just choose them as dinner. So
they started going out and like big pharmacies and stuff like that, you know, pharmacy reps will go out to like doctor's offices and they'll bring lunch and all that stuff to get you to prescribe their pill.
Yep.
So this happened in the cattle industry, where they would go out to these mega farmers and stuff like that. They'd buy you a steak dinner and talk about, well, we're coming out with this new feed product. And I just forgot that Homestead guy. I like him a lot. He does like talks and stuff like that. He's fought the government many a time.
Wrangler star guy?
No, it seems, I think Joel.
Hmm.
Anyways, I'll try to find a link to his stuff and post it.
Okay.
Because it happened to him. And you can watch his full video on it, and I'll find it and post it.
What, government approaching him?
No, not government. A private firm that was starting to turn cattle into feed.
Okay.
More cattle.
Okay.
So this was like 1972.
Okay, gotcha.
And he's like, you know, this was before he was super into the homesteading and regenerative farming and all that stuff that he is now, but he was always kind of minded like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just don't like that idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we should be doing that. And then about a year later is when the mad cow outbreak started happening.
Yeah.
And they blamed it on feed, not directly that. They blamed it on non-bleached and all this stuff, feed additives and all this stuff.
It wasn't the thing we're doing, guys.
And then when they stopped doing that, or they added more procedures to it, It went away.
Huh.
How odd.
Huh.
How odd.
It was probably the local other farmers in the area that were just off putting so much methane gas from there that it was causing a chemical change in their other cows to do that. So they probably paid a carbon tax to stop that back in the 80s. So we probably need to do that again.
So it just is interesting, but I'll keep reading from the CDC's website. So causes and risk. This is caused by a prion, which is an infectious protein. Prions are misfolded forms of protein normally found in our bodies of animals and people. It typically takes years for symptoms to begin to affect an animal that is infected with a prion. Scientists believe this may have been caused by feeding cattle meat and bone meal that contain prion-infected products from cows and sheep. But then how did the cows and sheep originally get it?
Right.
This is strong evidence that the outbreak grew and spread through the UK and such infectious feeds were given to young cattle. So yeah, grinding up their moms and feeding them to them.
Right, yeah. But it's not that. It's not that. Oh, gosh, this is frustrating me. Because they're not identifying the sourcer at all, so it means they're going to keep doing it. Means they don't care about the actual problem or what's causing it.
Yeah. So, a little history for you. The outbreak in this UK was hit extremely hard. The first two cases of this were identified in cows in 1986 in the United Kingdom. The cows were likely infected, though, in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it can happen pretty quick, but it doesn't normally take a couple years.
Okay, that's what I was
going to ask. Full-blown symptoms.
Right, yeah.
Or, you know, in the first couple months, they may start... So, what it starts causing... In my understanding, and this may be a little wrong.
Yeah, if we're wrong, just message us, contact us.
Because I'm reading from the CDCs, and I've done my own research in prions, and I've worked with prions before with other, like with CDC, which is chronic wasting disease in deer.
Okay. Is that when they get the, like the blue tongue or no, whatever?
No, blue tongue's a fly disease.
Okay, okay.
But a lot of times you see both of those together.
Okay.
Because if the deer is already in poor health due to chronic wasting disease, they are more likely to get those secondary infections.
More like susceptible, yes.
Yeah. Because blue tongue is transferred by flies.
Oh, okay.
Where it's a bite, you know, they bite, and if they have it, it's, a, I believe, a parasite.
Bill Gates.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Probably him.
Yeah. So the first two cases were in the 70s. The UK quickly, I was going to say, basically, it was cellular reproduction that it starts messing those up. It's kind of like cancer, except it doesn't form like a big lump of cells splitting. It's like misprinting the cells that are coming after it.
And then it's like a domino effect, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it can take for a while for you to start seeing symptoms, and then all of a sudden it can go really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And those end symptoms, like for deer, for example, I've seen chronic wasting disease in deer. They can act a little weird, or they're not running right. They look like they're drunk almost.
Uh-huh.
And all the way to like running circles. They can't stand anymore. Circles is a big one because it basically a part of the brain's fried. So they just keep running in circles. To just standing still, like you could go up and touch them and stuff like that.
Oh, geez.
Because their nerve system is starting to get
they're
fried.
They're just gone. Yeah.
And to where they look like they're starving because they are. A lot of times they forget how to eat.
Okay.
So they'll put their nose to grass and they won't do anything.
They don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're not there, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like it's just a crystalline structure that is spreading, basically.
Kinda. It's just
Like
it's messing up the DNA.
Yeah.
It's
I imagined it like you ever seen, you know, when you pull like a water bottle out of a super cold fridge or out of like a and you shake it real fast and it instantly you can watch the ice spread. I just imagine it like that, but a little. That's like the fast forward version.
So the UK 1986 found two cows, right? The UK quickly became an outbreak. Overall, more than 186,000 cows in the UK died from this disease between 1986 and 2015. The outbreaks were widespread, with more than 3,500 UK herds affected. Cases peaked in 1993 with nearly 1,000 new cases per week.
Dang.
Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Cases decreased drastically after control measures were implemented. The cause were reportedly occasional but very rare after this.
Till now.
We'll get to the new one. So, in the U.S., I'll just skip ahead to the U.S. The first cases were reported in 1993. The cows impacted or were imported from Canada from the U.K. The cows got on a boat from the U.K.
Came to
Canada
here.
To here. and rendered cohorts of the cow may have been responsible for 19 additional Canadian cases. So rendered. Do you know what that means? Ground up and put in a feed.
Oh, rendered. Okay, duh. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Wonderful.
So the UK is having all this problem with cows. Bring cows over, grind them up and put them into feed, and then we start getting cases.
Weird. It's like it was planned.
Odd. Odd. In addition, animal health officers have identified 6 cases in cows in the United States. One was imported from Canada and is believed to be infected there. The others were diagnosed with atypical disease, which is just they don't have symptoms, which may result with sporadic illness but not caused by contaminated feed, they say.
Yeah, I wonder if this was just an accident or if it's by design or what.
I don't know.
If it's an accident, it's pure incompetence.
Personally, I lean towards that.
Yeah.
Not saying I couldn't believe intentionals, but personally, I think it was feed companies. And I'm talking, I mentioned them last week, right? So there's mega corporation feed companies and there's little feed companies.
Right, right, right.
Like, so I'll shout them out again because it's a good thing. Kalmbach.
Yep, Kalmbach.
Right down the road from us. They're big enough that they produce a lot of food, like feeds.
Yeah.
For even like, what do you call that? Chain feed stores.
Okay, yeah,
Tractor Supply,
right.
Family Farm and all that.
Family Home and Garden?
Yeah, yeah. Family Home and Garden.
And that what it's called?
No.
Family Farm and... what's it called?
Family Farm and Home.
Farm and Home, yeah. And Garden. They need to add that on the end. I don't know why.
But, Kalmbach, I know a lot of people work there. It's not a lot of people work there.
Yeah.
And the lady, I have her kids and my 4-H.
So that's very nice.
That's their feed scientist.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking to me about all kinds of stuff. And like, because I was talking about, you know, nobody has quail feed. I have to use turkey feed.
Right.
And they're like, she's like, you know, do you think there's a market for that and that kind of stuff? I'm like, yeah. You know how many backyard quail there are now? Quail's getting to be a pretty big thing.
Thing again, yeah.
And she's like, well, maybe we'll look into it. So I'm hoping by the end of the year, they'll have an actual designed quail feed.
You know what? I wonder if they sponsor any shows.
I can talk to her.
Hmm.
But then there's I cannot remember the name of it. The main Tractor Supply feed. And it's nothing against Tractor Supply. It's this right. brand of feed.
It's not Purina.
It's not Purina and it's not Purdue. I can't remember. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Probably Tyson. I don't know.
But when the egg shortage was happening, one of the first times, and all these farms started to stop getting eggs.
Yeah.
There was private citizens that did analysis on the feed. And there was estrogen blockers
in the feed, mm-hmm.
which would stop hens from laying eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It just basically puts the hen into stasis.
Right. I remember when this was happening.
Yeah.
Everyone around here was reporting, like, we ain't getting no eggs.
And I don't want to say there's a way to round it. I just don't want to say what it was.
Around the...
How to get, like, you don't buy egg layer feed then.
Right, yeah.
You buy other stuff.
Right, yes. Other food sources, which people started doing.
Yes, and they started laying eggs again.
Yeah, magically.
Yeah.
Weird.
Like, I don't want to say it because I don't want them to know what we did to get around it.
Just message us on the...
I'll tell you privately.
Yes, message us.
I don't want the people that did the horrible things to know how we got around
right,
it.
Right, yeah. So message the Shack email and we'll operate in the shadows because that's how they make us operate in order to survive in this dang country.
So let's talk about human risk from the CDC's perspective. Strong evidence exists that consuming meat from these infected cows causes variant, I'm going to try to read this, Turo-Vostafet-Jakob disease.
Oh, gosh.
In people.
What's that?
It began in the UK about 10 years after the beef contamination likely made its way into the food product and plus the extended period into people.
Okay.
This is constant with the timeline of exposed prion disease that he developed into oneself. So it was largely eradicated. The prion disease was largely eradicated, but it does not pose much of a risk to people currently. That's what the CDC said as of May 10th.
This year. Okay.
Last year.
Okay, so we got 9 more years to wait before the effects actually show up, right?
Yeah.
According to past history.
Now let me find this year's.
Man.
So yeah, no threat to humans anymore.
Yeah, we're safe. It's all safe.
But it's back.
Guess
back again.
Mad cow's back. Tell your friends.
Guess who's back?
Moo, 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 moo.
This is moo. Before I talk about Mad Cow moo, and how moo, it's back again, moo, why don't you read about somebody that takes care of us?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Someone that takes care of us. That would be our sponsor of the show, Flavors of the Forest. Bigfoot Breath. They're a garlic dust. Put it on anything. It tastes amazing. It's 100% freeze-dried garlic that is an addition to any meal and will enhance it times whatever. I mean, 100. But if you like garlic, this is the premium garlic product on the market right now. I mean, I can't find anything even close to it, right? Other than, just down in a fresh clove of garlic right off the bulb.
Right off the bowl.
Right. Just pick it right off, put it in your mouth. And that's the same thing.
It's a clove, isn't it?
Well, and the cloves are the individuals, and then it's a one bulb of garlic, right?
You may be right.
I don't know. That's just how, in my head, that's how I always
this
did
is why
it.
We normally do pre-recorded ones.
But you can get this at flavorsforest.com/corn, and they have all different kinds of flavors from just the original garlic to we got... the new horseradish one. We've got ginger. We've got the spicy kind. We've got the lion's mane mushroom kind. And there's other limited kinds that are seasonal, only when the ingredients are fresh and ripe for the freeze drying.
I've been using the horseradish one.
It's so good.
And I don't like horseradish.
It's good because it's not, because again, all these products are, garlic's the main focus of all these. So having like the horseradish one, it has that hint of real horseradish right into it. And it just, you add it to, during your food, you cook with it, or you just sprinkle it on after. And this stuff's amazing on like pizza. Oh, if you like putting garlic, that extra touch of garlic on your pizza, this is like a punch of garlic right in the mouth because it's real garlic. There's no filler. It's 100% real fresh garlic going right into it. It's freeze dried to perfection. And I'm telling you, it is the best garlic powder product on the market. Flavorsforest.com/corn.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Yeah, so Mad Cow is back.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So UK identifies atypical cases of mad cow disease. And this is from, I can't even read the website name. It's in cursive and I can't read cursive. Elmond with AFP published on May 20th of this year.
Okay.
If that helps anybody.
So just very recently.
Yeah. So a cow in Essex tested positive for an extremely rare non-congenital form of mad cow disease. Just one day after the British and the EU struck a post-Brexit ban or deal easing food checks.
Okay.
So they were saying, oh, you know, we trying to make it easier. And we've talked about it. I highly recommend the Clarkson's Farm, season 1-4. If anybody doesn't know, it's Jeremy Clarkson. He is obviously wealthy, you know, at Top Gear for 30-odd years,
mm-hmm.
Plus his own enterprises and such.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he does an extremely good job of illustrating farmers and farmer struggles in the UK.
Their plight.
Yes, right now. And he's very open with, you know, I don't need to make money from this, but they're trying to, like, he shows you what they spend on stuff.
Right. And, like, difficult it is just to make it a dollar.
Second year, out of farming 1,000 acres, he made 146 pounds.
Gosh. Nothing.
And that's because they had to buy the stuff for next year.
Right, yep.
So nothing. He made nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Just spinning the tires.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a struggle. So food checks and stuff like that. Like right now, I know it's a big thing in the UK is pigs. A lot of, I think it's 45 or 50% of farmers since 2011 have stopped doing it. It's almost half.
Wow.
Have stopped doing it in the UK. So pigs, for example. I'm going to just make up the numbers because I barely remember the actual numbers.
Okay.
Well, let's say, you know, for a pound of pork in the UK, for a farmer to produce it down the road from you, a local farmer,
mm-hmm.
is $1.50.
Okay.
For a pound. So you to import it from South America, it's 50 cents.
Okay.
So it's 1/3 the price to import it from a foreign country. Which I'm sure Argentina's or South America's pork's fine.
Fine, but
I'd rather eat pork
that was in my backyard.
It's grown locally.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay for all the fuel and the energy.
Cheaper.
To
that's what I'm saying that, is it's cheaper.
It doesn't even make sense though,
because they can raise it cheaper.
Right, exactly. No, that part makes sense, but on the whole, like looking at it outside, I don't know, I guess zooming out, it makes no sense to have it come from across another ocean and get to your doorstep and be cheaper. That makes zero sense. When it should just be either the same price, if not cheaper, right here at home. So, it should be.
So apparently they were going to relax on this, but not. So officers insist that there's no consumer safety risk and beef exports remain unaffected.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a whole new.
There should be an automatic immediate halt from beef from the UK.
In and out. Yeah, it should not be.
It should be stopped right now. Just stop it.
If they were actually worried about it yet.
Right, exactly.
So there is a vaccine that they're working on.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm trying to find.
Well, okay, now it's making me, now that you're mentioning that, I'm wondering too, how, is this really a problem?
No.
Or is it something they're making up? Like they're exasperating or they're
blowing
out of proportion just to push this, to scare people so we can push this vaccine on the cattle and manufacture the consent for us to accept it as citizens of the world.
That is, I believe, more accurate. I think the cow probably did. Oh, I hate when they do this.
What? There's like ads or.
Well, you can't see the whole article.
You get to pay, but it's behind mm-hmm. a paywall.
Yeah. Well, fine. Screw you, Mad Science, our New Scientist magazine.
Yeah, you can view our propaganda, but not all of it. If you really want to see the total end of the lies, you got to pay for it.
But no, basically, there's a new mRNA vaccine.
Oh my gosh!
And there's talks, and I highly advise everybody look into this yourself. Right? You shouldn't, including us. You shouldn't take anybody you hear's word for 100%.
Right.
Take in the information, especially us, and look into it yourself. I don't care who you're getting the information from. Look into it yourself.
Yep.
I make mistakes. You make mistakes. We all make
every
mistakes.
Day. Yes.
And we're all privy to the information that we can pull.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I just like throwing that out there because I'm not God. We mess up.
Right.
But I believe this.
Right.
Personally.
So take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. No, so there's an mRNA vaccination that they're talking about mass producing here in the U.S. for mad cow disease. And there seems to be a couple cases of mad cow disease that I seen a couple weeks ago that have been covered up here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking about mass rolling it out for all basically certified beef farms.
So everyone that has a cow, including the backyard farmer with just a cow for their own family.
So I don't think they're to that extent yet. I mean,
you gotta start. Every journey begins with a single step.
But this is like a lot of cows.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cows.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think cows should be mass produced anyways. I'm anti, as in
mega
corporation cows. Because they're really hard on the environment.
Extremely. And the cows.
And the cows.
And the meat's not good.
There are farms that really try, like sand beds and stuff like that. If anybody ever sees like those big farms that have sand, cows actually like laying in sand.
Ooh, nice.
Because it's comfortable. It's like form fitting.
Yeah.
So sand's a good bedding material, not for their whole pen, but for like where they're going to lay down and sleep.
Right.
It's a good material for that. They enjoy sand. If you give them options, they're 9 times out of 10 going to pick sand to go lay in.
Ah.
Even with like grass and everything like that outside, like they'll go inside and sleep in the sand.
That's because, you know, at their roots, they're a tropical animal. They're born on the beaches.
I've seen island cows.
Right. Yeah. That one cow, that one island that's
it's in
isolated.
Arkansas. It's full of cows.
You know, we just talked about that. I don't remember what show, but.
Somebody did.
Yeah, somebody did. Either we did. Maybe we just heard about it. I don't remember.
Through the walls.
Yeah, that's when we were waiting in the other room.
The gosh dang walls.
They're in the computer.
But no, so this mass rollout of mRNA vaccines. I found something out. I was talking to a reliable source recently. Do you know why all the COVID vaccines? Because it's like 7 or 8 of them came out for COVID.
Okay.
Do you know why they were all mRNA vaccines?
I'm assuming it was just the new technology they're trying out. There
no,
was just
mRNA
a trial.
Is actually kind of old.
Okay.
Not old, but kind of old.
Huh.
So government contractors owned the patent rights for the mRNA vaccine technology.
Okay.
So the government was offering basically stipends.
For everyone using it, administering them, right?
Yeah. So if, I'm sorry, the government was offering stipends for you to come up with a vaccine for COVID.
Ah.
But the only way you could get the money
is if it was mRNA.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So that those corporations would get their kickback,
mm-hmm.
even if it wasn't their vaccine being used.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it was their technology being used.
So that's why they rushed them, or probably one of the reasons why they rushed everything through, or.
Which we're very soon having a vaccine specialist come on.
Yes. Not on this show.
Yeah. Not a kooky guy.
Just someone that works in the labs and makes them.
Makes vaccines.
That's his job.
So, because vaccine misinformation on both sides is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, here's what I would say about vaccines. I don't trust corporations.
No.
So why would I trust them for this thing?
To inject something experimental at the end of the day in my body, because there's no trial data on any of it.
So aluminum?
Or as the British would say, aluminium.
Aluminium. So aluminum. The type of aluminum that's in vaccines,
mm-hmm.
and I'm paraphrasing here. This is definitely a ranting episode. The type of aluminum vaccines, the parts per million,
mm-hmm.
is quote unquote safe for humans.
Sure.
But it's the ingestible safe amount,
mm-hmm.
not the injectable. So there's a couple studies that have just come out recently to where if you inject that same PPM, which is parts per million of aluminum, I think it's aluminum trioxide. I can't remember what the actual compound is, but aluminum is the first compound in it. If you inject that aluminum, much more of it stays in your body than ingestible.
Almost so, like it gets embedded in your brain, like in the folds of your mind.
Yeah. I mean, into your tissues and stuff like that. But people don't get like, well, how does that make sense? Well, your digestive system is very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It chooses what it uptakes and what it doesn't.
Right.
And it has a biome of other organisms
to take care of that stuff
that it works with.
Yes.
To kind of keep it going, right? So even though, like, obviously if you swallow battery acid, that just blows your system out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about these tiny, like, PPMs and PPTs, parts per million, part per thousand, of compounds that are unsafe for long-term exposure.
Right.
Your body does a good job of being like, well, we're not going to uptake that.
Right. We're going to crap out.
Yeah, you can blow it out if you do, like, if you swallow battery acid.
Right,
you know, if you do, like, a lot of it, it's just going to burn through everything.
There is a limit, but there's still a buffer zone when you eat something.
Yeah. So
like things being poisonous and toxic. You can eat things that are, what, toxic.
Technically, you can eat things that are poisonous.
But eating the poison is going to make you sick more than eating something that's toxic, because you can, your body can digest the toxin, or it can break it down.
It depends.
Right. But, you know, I'm just a generalization. But you put that toxic right in your bloodstream, you're going to be screwed.
It depends on the toxin. Because tetrodotoxin, doesn't matter where you put it, you're going to die.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. But you put a poison, I mean, it's going to act a little... I guess
I don't know the difference between poison and toxin.
Okay, I guess you're right. One you eat, one you don't.
No, that's. I think you're confusing...
Both are bad in your blood. Let's put it that way. It's bad if it goes in your blood.
I think you're confusing venom and poison.
That's what... You're right. That's correct. Correct.
Venom is, I bite you, you die.
Yes.
Poison is, you bite me, you die.
That's what I'm mixing up. So there we go. That's a better analogy. See, we get there. We always get there at the end of the day.
No, so I don't trust these vaccines. And it seems like if you want to eliminate mad cow disease, stop feeding cows cows.
Yeah, that's what seems to be the start of it.
And they do it with chicken feed and all this stuff too. Mm. Just so you know, a huge negative thing in the industrial chicken factories we have here, in even your private hatcheries, right? Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of this. Anybody that's bought chicks is guilty of this. When you buy chicks. Like, I have one rooster for 9 hens.
Yeah.
That's not how they hatch.
Okay.
It's much closer to a 50-50 rate.
Okay.
So if everybody buys 5 hens to every rooster, what are they doing with all those extra roosters?
Right.
A lot of them either get flash frozen while they're like hours old,
mm-hmm.
get flash frozen for reptile feeds, dog treats, and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
A lot of them go into grinders.
Yep.
And get turned into basically bone meal.
Yep.
And while they're alive. Like, they throw these chicks in a grinder while they're alive.
You're talking about the big industrial,
I mean,
chicken farms.
Even some smaller.
Evens, but not like, you're not really referring to like the backyard farmer, no, like you know, and me.
I had like 80 roosters.
Right.
If you hatch them out, they set their own rules.
Right, yep.
I mean, like, yeah.
But yeah, you're talking about the industry ones where you can watch the videos where people have taken where the chicks get separated on a conveyor belt and the males just get shoved into a basically a giant grinder while mm-hmm. they're still alive. It's really sad.
So another thing they did, and I'll keep talking about Clarkson's farm, is yeah. that they actually have, so they still eat the roosters, right? But they have a saving program where they get to live a life.
Okay.
Where a lot of these people that run chicken runs for eggs, they'll throw an extra 2 runs out there. For just roosters.
Right.
There's no hens in there for them. So they get to live on grass. They get to eat till about 6 to 8 months old.
Nice.
And then they get butchered.
Right. Nice.
I'm all for eating animals. And I just think there's respectful nature to doing that.
Agreed.
You know, animals should be treated with care and compassion, even if you're going to butcher that animal.
Right.
You know, and they don't have to. It's just, yeah. So those are things that people that have seen the industrial. You know, outbreak of the chicken grinding. Like, well, let's just take them and raise them. We're still going to eat them. Well, let's just let them grow and have, you know, live a life.
A decent life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Now, so vaccines.
Yeah, good. Yeah, they're horrible.
Now, let me see if I can find.
Where?
So more about wildlife and vaccines or animals and vaccines. So there's now. Vaccines. I just seen it one of my hiking reptile pages where, you know, the herpetology people go out and catch snakes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they just show pictures online and just they found what looked like a dog treat. And on the back of it, roughly, I'm just going to paraphrase, it said property U.S. government, leave here vaccine.
Gosh.
So it's a wildlife vaccine. They're airdropping it.
How is that legal?
You know what? I don't think it is, because it's animals. First off, in animals, not only animals are food sources, but in the U.S., we hunt deer
yeah.
and squirrel and turkey are big food sources. I have friends that pretty much their entire meat supply
right.
is deer.
Mm-hmm.
That they get, and I like deer. I don't know if I like it every day.
Right. I mean, I've had bad deer. I've had good deer.
I think it's definitely who's cooking it.
That helps.
And who butchered it.
Yeah, it helps too.
Because I have people that do not know any cuts.
But, like, we can't even you can't even spread like corn out to feed the deer.
Oh, you'll get, yeah, it's highly illegal this year because of chronic wasting disease.
Right, to feed wildlife like that. So wouldn't a dog treat or a biscuit, especially with a vaccine infused into it, shouldn't that be like doubly illegal?
Not if you're the USDA.
Right, that's what.
So the USDA drops vaccine treats from the sky to help control rabies and wildlife.
So who gets to regulate them or who gets to check them?
Nobody.
Shouldn't U.S. citizens be, aren't they a government? They're a government run or agency, right?
Yeah.
Based off of our tax dollars, right?
Yeah.
So shouldn't we have a say in that?
Shut up and eat your vaccines.
Right. Basically, how do you start this cause a stink? They're like, I guess get some awareness to that, or is this what we're doing right now?
I guess it's what we're doing right now. We're at least making people
aware.
There's like 2,000 you guys that listen to this.
Hey, thing. People, they're dropping vaccine laced. Dog treats, basically.
I'll read the article.
Yeah, do it. Okay, okay.
Because it's crazy to me that this is what they admit to. And I would have never, personally, I would have never known about it unless that hiker was like, hey, I found this thing.
Yeah.
It says property of USDA. What's that mean?
Right.
In the early 19, this is just a whole article. It is from NPR.
So, okay, before you even read this, I'm going to guess that the NPR article is going to basically say how this has been going on a long time and it's perfectly safe and natural, and this is great for the environment and us.
Rebecca Ramirez is the author.
This is my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, in the early 1900s, more than 100 people died annually from rabies in the United States.
Oh, no.
These days, the number is 5 or less. Now, rabies, I don't know if you know anything about it. It's almost certainly still a death sentence.
Yes.
There's even if you get the shot, if you have rabies, that's like, even if you get bit by a wild animal, they always give you the rabies shot.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where it's too late and you die.
Right. Yep.
It is incredibly, and as far as I didn't know there was a vaccine even for it, but apparently there is.
Yeah, there has been. Cause I remember even being a kid, like if you get, someone gets bit by like a rabid wreck or something, they need to get the rabies vaccine or whatever. But,
okay. Technically, I don't think that counts as a vaccine.
Because it's post-infection?
It's post.
Okay.
It's like basically a supersized antiviral.
Antidote. Yeah. An antidote. Shot. Yeah.
Oh, because these are less numbers. 5 about a year that die in the U.S. Although hundreds of domestic animals and livestock still contract the disease every year, their numbers were historically much, much higher. All species of mammal are susceptible to rabies infections. But only a few of those species act as reservoirs. Or that just basically means host, like big host groups. Like raccoons are a big one.
Okay.
So deer can get rabies. It's not common for deer to get rabies.
Gotcha.
Possums can get rabies, but it's very rare for possums to get rabies.
Okay.
Raccoons are like, raccoons and coyotes, at least here in Ohio.
Are more susceptible.
Those are the two I would say are the big carriers.
And if you ever see them run around during the day.
That's a big one.
Big sign.
We had one on our property when we were kids.
Coyote?
No, raccoon.
Raccoon, yeah.
And he was walking in circles and stuff and going, like, he was going nuts. And we left him be, and my dad came out and had to shoot it.
Yeah.
And then they called the game warden, and he's like, yeah, it's got rabies, all foamy and stuff. Because there's, like, 4 stages of rabies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the end stage is the crazy one.
The bad one, yeah.
There's a video of a mountain lion that had rabies that was going to kill, like, a 4-year-old.
Gosh.
And
that's scary.
Kept putting its jaws on her head and never closing. Because its brain was fried.
That's scary.
And the only reason it was doing all that is because its brain was fried.
Right, yeah.
It was having predatory instincts, but not predatory instincts. And you could tell it wanted to run, but it couldn't.
Jeez.
And they just were talking to the girl, like, hold still and stuff like that. And finally, it, like, fell over.
That's
crazy. And the dad
crazy.
Ran up and grabbed her. She was fine, but it was a very...
That would be the most high anxiety moment in my life, watching that.
And so, since 1995, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has run a yearly campaign that aims to keep rabies at bay in one population in particular, the raccoons of the United States of America.
Mm.
How they vaccinate these animals is somewhat unique. Every year, the USDA drops millions and millions of oral rabies vaccines across 14 states along the eastern seaboard. Texas also has a program that it separately does. In urban and suburban areas.
Why?
This usually means officials drive around, deposit raccoon baits that are likely to be found and eaten, like around dumpsters, creeks, and such. In rural areas, although, it's more effective way to distribute the bait. They fly planes across people's properties, drop them off. Like, they just scatter them. So these can be on private and public land.
Well, surely only the raccoons are going to eat them.
Yeah.
Surely.
They look like a little...
like milk bones?
No. They look like a cookie.
Oh, like a white Oreos?
No.
Or vanilla, whatever.
Like a bar, like a little cookie bar with like chocolate covering it.
Ooh, like the little fudge things?
Yes. Like that.
The Keebler elves?
Not a Keebler elf. The fudge is on the outside.
Yeah.
Like it's all one... Anyways, it looks like a little candy bar.
Hmm. Nice.
The program can comprise tens of thousands of square miles. So far, the program has been a big success. It has essentially stopped the geographic spread of rabies in the eastern United States. According to Jonathan Kirby, the USDA's wildlife biologist and field coordinator of the Natural Rabies Management Program. Oh, the government's killing me. Sorry to get the hiccups.
Basically, yeah.
Long term, she hopes that this will stomp out raccoon rabies for good. This would require marching it from the current extent, which excessively along the Appalachian Mountains, running from Maine to Alabama, all the way back to the ocean. And this is their long-term vision, is to cover the United States. So this is a couple years old. But yeah, I mean, here's a picture of, there's three different types of treat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're little cookies.
They're little cookies.
Like granola bar. Yeah, one looks like a granola bar.
I mean, the one literally looks like a cookie.
Yeah.
Like a, so... What do you think these vaccines taste like?
Probably delicious.
So, yeah, there are more resources. The U.S. Eradicate Raccoon Rabies is coming along decades. Basically, they are sweet tasting to entice the animals from eating them.
Of course.
So skunks, bats, and raccoons are drawn to these baits, and I don't get how bats are.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
There's something in them.
Hmm. Well, why bats? That's weird.
Oh, so studies... So how do you think they, so Kirby says, which is the guy that, or gal that runs this whole program, so they have some studies into aerosol vaccines or coating a few bats in vaccines and taking back to the colonies when they start grooming. They'll basically lick the vaccine off each other.
Oh my gosh.
Or they'll just spray forest with vaccines, aerosol vaccines.
Oh my gosh.
In the interim, Kirby says education around bats as rabies carriers is important. I've been around a lot of bats in my life. I actually know a bat biologist personally.
Yeah, we do.
Her fridge is full of, her garage is full of refrigerators full of live bats in the winter.
Hibernating.
Because of the ear disease they get. We'll wake them up during the winter and they'll basically starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes all those in and keeps them alive for the winter to release in the spring.
That's crazy. But I've awesome.
Never seen a bat with rabies.
Right.
I don't even know how a bat would get rabies besides a vampire bat.
How would it give you rabies?
I mean, if it bit you.
How many people you know have been bit by bats recently?
Only people that pick up bats.
Exactly.
I am one of them.
Have you been bit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
why are you picking them up? Bats.
They were in my house. And okay, I was just trying to get them outside.
Well, that's fair.
I didn't want him living in here, and he didn't want to live in here.
That's fair. My brother had a bat that got into his house once, and it was literally the scene from Black Sheep trying to get it out. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, but I can...
Chris Farley and David Spade. They're in a little cabin in the middle of the woods, and there's a bat, and they both just freak out trying to get it, and they finally, it was hilarious.
Anyways, do they spray vaccines? In the interim, Kirby says education about how knowing that people can't always feel a bat bite and they need immediate treatment in case they're exposed is the best tool for keeping people safe. Yeah.
No, it's not. The best tool for keeping people safe is to spray everything in the world with a vaccine. Like, let's sterilize the entire world. Maybe if we kill everything that's living on the earth, people won't die. You know?
Yeah,
I think that's safe. Let's kill everything to be safe for your sake. You know what? I think we need to die to be for our own safety.
I was going to say, there's a... You know how many movies are like robots? I'm trying to think. There was a couple of them, like I Am Robot, Ultron from the Avengers, like where they're supposed to keep humanity safe and stuff, and they all come to the same conclusion. Like, I guess the only way to really do this is humanity's biggest enemy.
Yes.
So the only way I can keep humanity safe is killing all of humanity.
See, that's where the propaganda is, because they should be smart enough to know it's just a few individuals in humanity that are making it insufferable for the rest of humanity. So there's 99% of the people that I think are fine, good people. And then there's that 1% that rule and run everything and control all of us. Control. That's what it's all about, is control.
So it looks like Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia just started doing this too, charting gray foxes.
Isn't too, I think I just seen this recently, like Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania. I know that our little section is like, has the highest dementia and Alzheimer's rates too. They call us like the, I don't know if it's Alzheimer's belt or the, or pot, I don't know. But we have like the highest rates of that as well. I'm sure none of this plays a factor in any of that, or with the chemicals being spilled everywhere.
It's probably the chemicals.
But I mean,
think about how many factories are in the, I mean, in the Corn Belt.
Yeah, right here where we are.
Mm-hmm. And all the stuff, like,
but you know, you
used to just pick up asbestos and shove it into things.
Right, yeah, it works. It was good.
It worked, but then your brain would start dying.
Yeah, eventually. But we don't care about that. That's 40 years down the road. Who cares?
30, 20.
Oh, yeah.
10, 5, maybe.
Well, that was before we knew it was took that long.
You should just pull it out of the wall and eat it like cotton candy.
Yeah, I bet. No.
No, but they literally are throwing dog treats from planes on private property.
Yeah.
Now, they claim anything that lands on private property, I believe, is an accident.
Yeah, okay. That's really easy. It's really easy to say. It's just an accident, but we're still doing it. That's like when, we order drone strikes in other countries to kill terrorists, quote-unquote terrorists, but 80% of the drone strikes just kill women and children, you know, everyday normal citizens, just normal people that are just want to live life. You know, they want to eat food and drink clean water and spend time with friends and family, but no, they get bombed by U.S. government robot planes ordered by our president from this president, the president before, the president before that, ever since we've had drone technology, and they kill 80% civilians. To the point where we dropped so many bombs, we ran out of bombs to drop. We used them all. But good thing we got those farmers and children and the women. Good thing we got rid of them. It made us safer, right? Worth it. So dumb. So dumb. If it's true, none of that was false. None of it's false. Look it up.
I did not say it was.
No, yeah, I know, but I'm just sure.
I just really don't trust the USDA at all anymore.
No, me either. Because, like I said earlier, who's regulating them? They're just doing it, and there's no one that can say anything about
it. Let's see. I'm just going to type that in. Who
regulates the USDA?
Yeah.
Because it should be, it should be us, but there's no one even, there's no even, like, way to approach them, like, to form a complaint. Who do you file a complaint to? Your local representative that is corrupted by them as well?
The primary regulatory body of the United States Department of Agriculture is the president.
Okay.
Who appoints the Secretary of Agriculture, who runs both that, the Food and Drug Administration, and the EPA.
Ooh, because there was someone who people wanted Trump to hire as our Secretary of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Who'd he pick? I don't even know.
I don't know, but you know who people really wanted? Hmm. I'll give you one guess. One politician.
I don't know. Thomas Massey.
Yep. That's what people wanted. And I'm going to guess. Oh, it didn't happen. Ain't that funny. Our Secretary of Agriculture now is Brooke R. Rollins. So, you know, good. We got a lady that's doing it. So we can't now. Women aren't bad at any. They can't do no evil. They only can do good. That's why you got to put a woman in at the top, because then you can't criticize her. For dropping vaccinated dog treats all over the wildlife, you know, for our safety. That's just for our safety.
Texas A&M University and a degree in agricultural development.
That's her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you're reading her thing right here?
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the stuff she's done.
She was during.
At least she has a degree in ag.
Well, yeah, I'd hope so.
I mean, but how many things of this kind of stuff is just a political pick?
Right, exactly.
And they have nothing. I mean, we've talked about it with everything from the Smithsonian to any other governmental body. I'm just saying, at least this person, A&M, if anybody don't know, the Texas A&M University is like the top ag school.
Okay.
If you're doing anything with agriculture,
uh-huh,
that is like the top ag school. Like,
okay.
If you want to be a food nutritionist for farms and stuff like that,
you want to go there.
Texas A&M.
Gotcha.
And actually, they do a lot of wildlife too. They're a pretty famous wildlife college.
Okay.
And that's how we used to find jobs, is the Texas University A&M actually has a wildlife and ag job board. Even if you're not one of their students,
yeah,
they'll help you find a job in that field.
Nice.
So as far as I know, I have friends that graduate from that university. The university's nice. I don't know anything about this lady.
Right, yeah.
But the university, I do enjoy the university from my short running ins with them.
Well, it says she graduated with honors from Texas A&M University. with a degree in agricultural development and was the first female to be elected student body president. So I don't know what that means, but I mean, obviously she's respected, I guess, in her field.
Football, cattle shows, piano lessons, and baseball, or what her kids like to do.
Oh, nice. Nice. So I don't know anything about this lady, but
maybe, I have no idea. She may be a good person. She may not be. I haven't.
Well, I guess we can find out if we just get enough people that will contact her and ask her questions, you know, raise a stink about this.
I mean, that's her job. And shoot her office emails and ask.
Yeah. I mean,
why are you guys dropping food pellets with vaccines on public and private land?
Right. Exactly. Why? We just want to know why. And being U.S. citizens, we pay her salary.
U.S. government, not U.S. citizen.
No, we U.S. citizens pay her salary. So we should be able to ask questions. We should be able to get the answers. That's what her job is. It's there for that.
I mean, like I said, I don't know anything about this lady. She may be
me either.
Open to that.
Mm-hmm.
She may not be.
But it takes people.
She doesn't look like a career politician, is all I'm saying.
Right. And it takes people, though, to raise these issues to make change. So it starts with us.
I'll tell you this. I never hardcore worked with the USDA. I worked with other federal branches
mm-hmm.
of environmental studies extensively. And there's a lot of the serpent's head doesn't, or the octopus's head doesn't have any idea what the tentacles are doing.
Right.
There's a lot of that.
Right.
To where. I won't name which organization I was with, but where they were surveying and sampling the same area, double. Not on purpose, because they're idiots.
Just too much compartmentalization. Yeah,
just like, it's all the same data.
Okay.
Like, it's exact same data, and they were actually messing each other's data up.
By doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were oversampling a site, which changes the site's score. I'm trying to look up if Ohio vaccinates wildlife, and it's not coming up whatsoever.
Hmm. Well, where was that one pellet that someone found? Do you remember what state that was
West in? West Virginia.
So, I mean, it's like right down the road, basically.
So all of Appalachia looks like it's involved with it, except maybe Ohio and Kentucky. They've been found in Kentucky, but I don't have proof that Kentucky's participating because they're dropping them on the Tennessee border.
Right.
So they just may be falling in Kentucky.
Oops.
Or raccoons and stuff. They carry food home.
No, they don't cross. They
respect borders.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot
that. The wildlife can see the imaginary lines.
Yep, they know. And they know where they're not allowed to be and where they're not allowed to be. So they would never. Gotta leave
the vaccines at the border.
How would you ever accuse a raccoon of doing that? Oh, you're so incompetent. I feel like a government official talking like that.
I know one that you sound exactly like that I used to have to work with.
Oh, gosh.
He basically paid us to do the surveys and called us idiots the whole time.
Oh, wonderful.
Like, then hire somebody else, please. I get paid the same whether I'm out here or not.
Right, yeah.
I got my guaranteed hours.
This is just, it's getting to be too much some days. When we just start digging in, this was a little story too. It's always to dig into it. And it's like, oh my gosh.
I know, it's kind of depressing.
The rabbit hole.
Maybe next week I'll find a positive thing to do on. Maybe we'll do another homesteading thing.
Well, there is positive, though, in this. Sometimes you have to recognize the dark to see the light.
I agree that this is very important to shine a light on.
Right.
But it can be a lot.
Oh, yeah. It can be overwhelming.
I didn't add in, I don't know, maybe I'll just throw this in here towards the end. So microplastics are getting to be, so like the generation before us, lead was the big deal.
Yep.
Then what was it before that? Asbestos was the big deal.
Okay.
As far as the everyday chemical exposure, you know, that's dangerous because
mm-hmm.
asbestos and lead was in the house. It was in paint, it was in gasoline. And I'm a big believer that that's the serial killer theory with lead.
Okay.
Is that the lead and gasoline?
Yeah.
Not because it created all serial killers, but the number of serial killers that were born in like the 70s is insane. Like the 60s and 70s, the numbers that were born there is insane. And then went back down to, I guess, what we would classify as the normal
level. Serial killer
rate.
Whenever
you get so many people, you're going to have one that's off.
True.
It just happens.
It's just order.
Yeah. Now I forgot where I was going with it. Ours is microplastics.
Yes. Microplastics and probably, why am I blanking now? That's the chemicals are put, like glyphosate and things like that.
I think, personally, and this is a personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
I think microplastics are a bigger issue than all of that.
Than just neurotoxins in general?
Yes. because I think neurotoxins have shorter term effects and microplastics have a lot of what's called hormone disruption.
For sure.
And that is going to, what can, it can cause an environmental collapse cascading event. Ooh. And let me explain what that means, because it's a lot of big word.
Yeah.
Is that means that it's affecting so many levels of the environment.
Right.
From the base to the top. That it doesn't mean it will, but it can start collapsing like a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And in a relatively short time, there can be complete environmental collapse in some systems.
Yeah, that's not good.
And so we just found first time last year, we found it in deep sea organisms. A couple of giant isopods had it in their brain, a bunch of microplastics. And plants are starting to uptake it.
Mm.
So lettuce here in the U.S. was tested positive for microplastics.
That's insane.
And so it's unavoidable, right? And I'm not saying there's nothing you can really do besides limit. You will not get away from it.
I think there's
animals in the Marianas Trench 7 miles down.
That's got it.
It's got it in their brain.
Yep.
You cannot get away from it.
Not anymore.
There are ways to limit that. And there are ways to, I think, maybe clear your system a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's do your own research and stuff. I just took something personally yesterday to help with that. And I think Wilbur's going to get it here after this episode.
Oh, no. I got to drink the juice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I took it. It doesn't taste good, but it does good things. Medicine's not supposed to taste good.
No.
It should taste like poison.
Oh, gosh.
Because it does. It tastes like poison. So that's my big fear, is total environmental collapse or a cascading environmental collapse event.
that's just my one fear. Like, yeah, that's a horrible thing.
Because all these people are pretending it's other things. We're fighting wars that are fake. We're focusing on things that don't matter.
100% every day.
And now climate change, I know we have different opinions on it. And I don't believe it's what they're telling you it is. I think it's this environmental, basically the start of environmental collapse is what we're seeing.
And they're exploiting it.
Which is not climate change per se. I guess it's hard for me. The symptoms that they're explaining are real. The causes are not.
Correct.
Is what I guess I'm getting at. So my big thing when people say climate change isn't real, well, yes and no.
Right.
The coral reefs are dying. Fish stocks are, you know, whole populations of fish are dying. But it's not because me and you drove a car to work.
What? Oh, yeah. No, it's because we drove a car to work and our cows fart.
And there's
a
blob of plastics 3 times the size of Texas in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
But no, that has nothing to do with it.
Have I ever showed you the pictures of like whales and whale sharks stuck in there?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. It's horrible.
There's the biggest animals on the planet are getting stuck in garbage.
Mm.
And most of it's microbeads.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say, it's not really like, a lot of it's, you can't walk across.
Mm-hmm.
There are patches you can.
Yeah.
But that big blob is mostly, because the ocean, what it does with plastics is it rolls it into little balls with the waving effect.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of these like micro balls of plastic.
Well, that too, when a plastic, when it's in its virgin state before it's melted and molded and whatever, it comes in those, that's how it's produced, in those little balls too.
Yeah. So the waves, like when they start breaking bottles down and stuff like that's what they force them in back into that kind of primordial shit. Bless you. The government is really trying to get us. Bless you.
Oh, that was gross.
Oh, it's all over you. You're disgusting. Is that blood?
That's Bigfoot. That's Bigfoot.
No, I guess anything else to add? We're way over our time, but
we
talked about a lot today.
Yeah.
We had a couple light episodes before this.
Now we're getting back into the serious stuff. The stuff we need to make a difference about. The stuff you got to go outside and shake your fist at the man at. That's the kind of stuff we talked about today. And that's the kind of stuff that we need to change in the world. We just need action. We need us to just stand up and take action and take our sovereignty back. And we need to fight back against these people and these government agencies trying to limit us. They say there's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collective brain,
though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mills hold up a mystery unsolved. Through our seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth. Expose the lies, that's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quill. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the people. Conspiracies are all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
It's the July 4th sale at Bray & Scarf, going on now, with huge savings throughout the store. Save up to 40% on GE Profile and Cafe appliances. Or step up to luxury with free installation on select Monogram appliances. Special financing is available. Shop local and save this July 4th at Bray & Scarf. Visit any of our convenient locations or go to brayandscarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.